And welcome to the John Curley and Sherry Ellicker Show. John is out today, but guess who's in for him? Take a listen to this, and if you've listened to him fill in before, you'll know why we're playing this song.
What will we do, baby, without us? What will we do, baby, without us?
That's right.
And there ain't no nothing we can't love.
The theme song to
wait,
Family Ties.
Wait, what is this song?
It's a theme song. It's the theme song to Family Ties and your idol, because you wanted to be like Tyler Fox or something like that, because you had your obsession with Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot that he was on Family Ties.
Oh, come
can
on.
I tell you guys
wait
how,
a minute. That wasn't your inspiration?
No, it was Back to the Future. I've never seen Family Ties. I'm sorry. I've never seen it. Yeah.
Oh.
No, I don't.
Well, Sherry, we wasted all that effort for nothing.
I'm sorry.
I don't understand the reference.
It's fine. We'll go back to Huey Lewis in the news.
Yes, please.
All right.
Please,
okay.
Please, please.
All right. I thought I was going to give you a surprise. What was your name that you wanted to change? Was it Tyler Fox?
Kyle Fox.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kyle Fox.
No big deal.
Okay.
That's all right.
All right. All right. Well, we tried. This is Boeing. Huh? The case against Boeing is getting curiouser and curiouser. And I'm not just talking about a door blowing off or the safety issues. I'm talking about something that seems to be just so odd. We almost can't really explain it. Let me just go over a couple of things. So about a few weeks ago, there was a guy named Mitch Barnett. Now, Mitch Barnett was one of the whistleblowers in this whole case. And he was in the middle of his deposition when he decided he was going to go back, I guess it was, to wherever his mom lived for the night. And they said, no, we really want to get these depositions finished. He agreed. He went back to the hotel. He came back the next morning, or he got out in his truck the next morning, and they found him dead from a suicide. That day was
suspected suicide, right?
Right, exactly.
Gunshot wound, and
And that was the day he was going to testify, I guess, with some pretty damaging things. Just 2 days ago, a slide that had come off of a Boeing plane landed in one of the attorneys that is handling some of these cases against Boeing. And now,
what
happened?
A slide? What does that
mean?
Yeah,
so like a safety slide, like it came off the plane and they couldn't find it. And the guy that is handling one of these cases found it in his, he lives on the beach. Yeah, yeah.
You're kidding. What are the odds of that happening? That it lands
well, what are the odds of any of these things happening?
No, yeah, so there's another guy, another whistleblower has now died. And obviously that would raise a lot of questions. I mean, the timing of that seems very suspicious. His name is Josh Dean. He worked for Spirit AeroSystems is the manufacturer of the door that actually the plug that actually came off. And so he alleged that that they were having issues, safety issues back in, I think it was in 2023 that he was fired. And then shortly after that, he alleged that there were some issues. And now he has died from he had some sort of a bacterial infection. He got really, really sick. It took about 2 weeks, and it was fast spreading, they said. His mom was updating people on Facebook, and then it turned into MRSA, and then he passed away.
Yeah, he was only 45, and he was in very good shape, they said, and didn't have any problems. He went into the hospital because he had some breathing issues. They intubated him. He got pneumonia, and then he got MRSA. Now, I attended a funeral on Saturday for someone who died of MRSA. So it really is a fast-growing, deadly bacteria
so scary.
That you can get in the hospital. It's just baffling how many of these things have happened.
Do you think, I mean, are you a conspiracy theorist by nature? Are you somebody who goes in for these sorts of things? Like, are you a moon landing person? I mean, these are very different things we're talking about. But you know
no,
what I mean?
I'm
like,
not.
Are you a person
no.
who believes we haven't been to the moon? There are people out there who believe that.
Oh, I'm aware. No,
yeah.
No. I'm not
I'm
one of
those
people. Them. Oh, are you?
No, I'm not. But did you see that O.J. Simpson movie back in the 1970s? Do you remember that movie? Was it O.J. Simpson? Hmm. And it was about the faking of the moon landing? Do you remember that?
No.
I saw a documentary on something like that. And yes, they make a convincing, fairly convincing case, but come on.
No. It would require it would require thousands and thousands of people to keep this tremendous secret for decades and decades, which is not possible in government. So that wouldn't have. I think they went to the moon. I mean, that's. I don't want to be controversial, but I think they went to the moon.
That's going out on a limb, but okay.
But yeah, but when I read this headline, I mean, this is like the top story on MyNorthwest.com. People can read about it there. It does seem one of those stories where you just go like, what? I mean, how is this possible that another it's not like just a normal guy at Boeing. It was a second whistleblower, which is a very small family of people. So how can that happen?
And it's a previously undiagnosed or something that you can catch really quickly, you know, like you get it from the hospital. So
totally.
It could, there is plausibility to somebody infecting somebody else maliciously. And no way saying that that's what happened.
No, but that's the kind of thing that
it's
you know, if you were to write a movie about this, or you were like this is the kind of thing. This is how it would look. Somebody would get an infection that's an unknown infection, or you know,
it's a very weird series of events, and I'm kind of waiting for the next one. But I mean, Boeing wouldn't be. I mean, I don't. It's not fun, but it is interesting to talk about this and interesting about, you know, the coincidences here. But I don't for a minute think that Boeing had much to do with it because...
Well, no, I don't think...
Why would they?
Why would they? Yeah, why would they? I don't think Boeing had anything to do with this either. But it is strange, to your point a second ago, there are like... there's like this momentum of Boeing stories. All of these things pop up all the time. You're seeing like the slide thing that you were talking about the other day, or you know, any of these whistleblowers who are dying. And I mean, every other day it seems like there's a story in the news like somebody couldn't get the landing gear down properly, so they had to make an emergency landing. It's now becoming kind of its own subcategory of things to click on.
Yeah. And there's also like, I think there's confirmation bias in terms of like the malfunctions and stuff like that. Like that all, I was reading some data on it, and based on the number of planes Boeing has in the air and the number of planes that the other big one, what's the other?
Airbus.
So based on they have like the exact same number of malfunctions. It's totally typical.
But Airbus isn't in the news negatively right now.
Exactly. Yeah. So the media and just people's like the word Boeing is something that people's eyes gravitate to right now. So it's not like suicides or whistleblowers aside, like the mechanical stuff is just pretty typical. It just happens to be part of this sub.
It's just a way to, you know, for people to latch onto it and get some headlines. When I was the communications director for the prison system in Maryland, which still sounds weird.
I didn't know you did that.
Yeah, I was.
That's an interesting job.
There was this guy in the department that desperately wanted me to put out a press release every single time they apprehended someone that was trying to smuggle in drugs.
Oh, okay.
And how their apprehension team was working and how great they were being. I said, absolutely not. People are not going to read the details of this. They don't care about it. All they're going to hear is prison problem. And if enough of it happens that if you put it out once a week or once a month, even people are like, wow, that place is in trouble. So it is. It's that I think that the news realizes that people are still, you know, digesting this. And so it's enough to keep them going.
I think you're totally right. Like there's probably people who are getting, you know, like news desks across the country are getting stories about Airbus planes. They're like, wait, what happened? Was it a Boeing? No, it was an Airbus. They go, forget about it.
Never mind.
Not interested. They don't get clicks, but a Boeing, you know, any Boeing story now gets an immediate click and it just like jumps up the charts. And which really is a bummer because we're a company town here. Boeing has an amazing history here. I know about 9,000 people that work at Boeing. I don't actually know 9,000 people, but I do have a lot of friends. Yeah, I have a lot of friends. But I do know a lot of people who work at Boeing. And whenever I see them, I'm like, how are things going at Boeing? Oh, my gosh. Because I'm in this like feeding frenzy of like, what's going on with Boeing? And they're like, oh, it's fine. They're like, the culture inside Boeing, like they're just dealing with the normal ins and outs of running one of the biggest companies in the world. And we're all sitting here like, did you hear a slide fell off? They're like, yeah, that happens. Like, it happens all the time.
It is weird, though, that these three things happen to these three people involved in the court cases against Boeing. That's just going to raise some eyebrows. Jay Inslee was out today. I'd like to say that he was marketing something, but maybe that is what he was doing. He's trying
to sell
people.
He's trying to sell something.
He's trying to sell people on EVs and talking about the fact that he's got a $9,000 bonus for you if you want to buy an EV.
What does an EV cost? Like, isn't that going to cover? Like, how much is an EV?
Exactly.
Isn't that going to cover pretty much an EV? Like, can I just get the $9,000? I'll buy a used one and just, like, call it an even?
Well, no. EVs are more like $90,000. EVs are really expensive.
There's not a used EV somewhere out there that I could get this, I could qualify for this bonus?
No, but you could lease one, and they'll give you like $5,000 to lease it, and that could even out for you.
Pretty good.
But he was talking about pushing these EVs on everybody and saying, go out and buy one, it's the greatest thing ever. And he got around to talking about EV school buses. I want you to hear what he said, Jake, and then I want you to, as a dad of just about four.
Yeah.
Tell me if you think this is accurate.
All right. So this is a press conference in Tukwila, and he's talking about EVs. Here it is. I haven't heard this yet, so I'm excited.
Okay.
We are providing electric school buses for kids. You know, and people love electric school buses. When I talk to the drivers, they love electric school buses because they tell me the kids don't yell all the time. Mm. They kind of talk, and they become somewhat mature. And the drivers don't have to deal with those rambunctious kids. And our kids don't have to breathe that diesel smoke as well.
I don't understand. What does he mean? Because by virtue of the fact that they're on a school bus that's not powered by an engine, a gasoline-powered engine or a diesel engine, they become more mature as children?
But yes, they grow up very, very quickly. And some kindergartners are driving the buses now.
What does he mean by that? That doesn't make any sense. They become more mature. And so they become better children. That doesn't make any sense. The kids don't know.
Well, I think the thought is that because EVs are quieter as a vehicle, that it calms the children down, and then suddenly they become little Walt Whitmans or something.
Well, no, this is
crazy maniacs.
This can't be true because my kids live in my house and they eat breakfast at my table. My table is not on a bus, and it doesn't have an engine and it doesn't run. But my kids go insane around my house at all times. As quiet as it might be, they fill it with noise. This is what children do. They are chaotic.
Well, and it flies in the face of the old rumor that, like, the engine noise of a car would help put a baby to sleep. Or my mom, even when I wasn't a baby, I was just like a young kid. I would lay down in the back seat and drive around, and, like, it was kind of hypnotic.
Yeah.
The sounds of the engine.
No, every one of my kids... I brought up giving them white noise machines in their rooms. That helps a kid. They recommend it. They go, hey, little babies, if they have trouble falling asleep, put these little white noise machines in their rooms, and they will sleep better. There it is right there. You're getting sleepy just listening to me right now.
Yeah. We all are. Kidding.
this seems so ridiculous. What a funny line to come up with. Oh, it will make children more mature. That just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. But I guess what he's saying is that because of the roar of the engine of the regular school bus, kids have to talk over it, making them louder.
And what does he say about diesel smoke? They're not venting the diesel smoke into the school bus, yeah. Governor Inslee. That's not how it works.
No, they're going to have a fentanyl smoker there in the back of the bus, just like they do on public buses.
That's true. They calm everybody down that way, too.
Yeah.
Well, that's news to me.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. The overpass. The dreaded overpass. This is something I think is unbelievably disturbing, that these attacks are happening again. Do you remember, Jake, when the last one of these, but people tossing things over an overpass, when that was in style?
I actually was trying to remember this. I feel like I didn't actually think enough about it to just look it up on the internet, which I could have done. But I do feel like
me too.
But that's not really important. What's important is I do feel like this was a summertime thing. I actually feel like when the weather kind of gets nicer, and maybe that's just because more people are outside and they find themselves on an overpass. But I do feel like in the nicer time of the year, I have seen stories like this where they would throw like cinder blocks or bricks and things like that off of. And it's so horrible and scary.
It's terrible. It's attempted murder. It's awful.
Well, it should be if they ever catch these people. The problem is you can't catch these people because not every bridge has a camera on it. You know, and oftentimes it would be somebody who's unidentifiable because they might just be living on the streets. And in this case in Linwood, there was a guy who was driving in from his house up north. And he's coming into town. He's driving down I-5 on just past the underpass on 164th. this is a road I take every single day. I live up north in Snohomish County, and so I'm literally driving on this. This could have been me. Easily could have been me. Mm-hmm. And this giant steel, it looks almost like a train track or something coming through. I mean, it's not that big, but it's like 5 feet long. This big steel beam crashes through his front windshield and, I mean, somehow, miraculously, lands across his dashboard and his passenger seat. And then one part of it, I think, it kind of like is cradled over his leg at a certain point. But it's just, it's horrifying. Do we have audio of this? Is it Cairo 7?
We have Deborah Horn with Cairo 7, but do we have time for it?
We may not have time for it. We can play it.
Go for it.
All right. Play a little bit of it. Let's check it out.
We have sadly grown accustomed to this happening in Seattle, but Tuesday morning, it was this overpass from which someone tossed a metal beam into morning rush hour traffic. The good news is the victim is still here to tell his incredible story of survival. You thought that it was just debris.
Yes, because I was coming. I can see I'm coming under the overpass.
That is the moment Gregory Sanon's Tuesday morning commute took a dramatic turn, his native Haiti still in his voice.
I was doing like 65 to 70 miles an hour going to work.
It's a weird way to describe his accent.
Yeah, right.
I feel like she could have left that detail out. We would have still, I still would have been fine with the story.
And then all I know, I was getting in under it. Then after that, it just like...
He didn't know what hit him.
I thought I was dead or something, or the overpass crashed over me.
It was instead a 51-inch long steel beam.
And then all I can see, just like doing all the debris hitting my face, I was just trying to stay calm and then make sure I don't press my gas.
The Washington State Patrol says someone witnessed a person tossing the beam into the traffic from the 164th Street Southwest overpass in Linwood, but the person managed to escape. Sanon is just the latest victim nearly killed when someone threw debris onto I-5. It has happened most often near downtown Seattle, but WSP says the dangerous act has apparently migrated north.
You see how bent this thing is, bent from the impact?
Like the other victims, Sanon survived, and he says he holds no grudge against the person whose dangerous act might have cost him his life.
No grudge. I'm going to pause it there because I think we're running short on time, but he's fine. He holds no grudge. That's not the reaction that I would have. I would be pretty grudgy if somebody threw a steel beam through my windshield.
Super grudgy. Yeah. I mean,
maybe that's how they do it in his native Haiti, though. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I could hear that in his voice.
You could hear that in his voice. Yeah.
Forgiveness and the Haiti accent. I could hear all of it. It's the John Curley and Sherry Ellicker show. Would you like to be letter of the day? Well, all you have to do is text us at the Muckleshoot Resort text line. That's 1-888-973-5476, or you can go to mynorthwest.com. Jake Skorheim is in for John today. This is, I turn to you, Jake, for a couple of things. Number one, anything movie or TV related, even though you never saw Family Ties and tried to change your name to Michael J. Fox's brother or something. And anything kind of kid related. So this is a combination of both of those topics. And
because I have kids, not because I'm a kid.
Right? Because you have kids.
Yeah, because I have kids. Yeah. I'm not that young. I'm plenty old enough to know things.
Like, prove it. Okay. So I don't know what this, I don't know about this documentary. It's called Quiet on the Set.
Yeah, it's a documentary about basically like anybody. So I'm 40. I just turned 40. And anyone around my age probably watched a lot of the child actors that are highlighted, who are now adults my age, around the late 80s, early 90s at Nickelodeon. You know, the kind of these like Kid Factory shows. Mm-hmm. Joe and I were just talking off the air. There was this really popular show when we were both kids called Double Dare.
Oof.
Do you remember that, Joe? Oh, yeah. We were just talking about it.
It's like a parkour, like interactive game show where you're climbing through stuff. Yeah, and
you're getting slimed, and you're running under giant things that look like feet, and like it's ridiculous, and it's like early 90s. Anybody who's listening to this probably knows Double Dare. You probably remember the show. But there was a guy.
Have you surveyed our audience?
You don't think they would know Double Dare? All right. Well, you're all right.
I vaguely know it, believe it or not, only because I know Slime was this big thing for a while.
It's the whole Nickelodeon infrastructure.
Nickelodeon, all these different things. Yeah. So, like, you know, for much of your audience, your kids loved these shows, I would imagine. And you probably remember watching your kids watch these shows. But there was this guy in the early 90s and into the early 2000s who was kind of a big star producer for Nickelodeon. And his name is Dan Schneider. And there is this documentary now called Quiet on the Set. And basically what the producers of this documentary are focusing on and highlighting is the very inappropriate, dangerous even relationship and sometimes that you find with kid actors who are a lot of the times completely unsupervised and are just around grown adults who are working in their business, which is in, you know, producing entertainment for kids television. And then these kids who have no, they have no parental. I mean, sometimes there's parents on the set, but oftentimes the kids are dropped off or it's not a safe environment, basically, is what the documentary kind of shows. Pretty accurately shows. And so in this documentary, they highlight a couple of people who worked on these various shows for Nickelodeon who actually were arrested for either, like child pornography in one of the cases. I think in another one of the cases, there was allegations of inappropriate touching from one of the...
Like a dialect coach.
But the big name that is associated with this show is this guy named Dan Schneider, who was
Can we back up a minute?
Yeah.
Why would a show about slime need a dialect coach?
Well, that's a good question.
It's the whole network. So they had like talk shows. It's basically all these shows that just starred kids. So they had a roster of like hundreds of kids on different types, like sketch comedy shows.
Yeah, there was a show.
Sure, they were great.
Yeah. They had. You don't know about it, it was a massive. Like everybody watched. Everyone that I knew watched this show called All That, which was on Saturday nights. Yeah. There was a show, and it was Saturday Night Live, but with kids. And kids would act in this, and they would, you know, essentially what they were doing, they were just mouthpieces for adult writers who were coming up with other stuff, because kids are not that funny and smart naturally, or not always as much. And so you would have these...
Ever.
So you would have these big ensembles, at least not on purpose. So you'd have these big ensemble shows, but all these kids. So this guy was, Dan Schneider produced a lot of these shows. There were shows like Drake and Josh. There were shows like Britney Spears' little sister had a TV show. Just that was the environment. But this Dan Schneider guy, again, back to this Dan Schneider guy, he is kind of the big top dog in all of these productions. It's very much suggesting, it seems, in the documentary, according to Dan Schneider, who's just filed a lawsuit against the producers of this, and also against, I believe he's also against Viacom CBS, who used to own Nickelodeon. He's basically saying, listen, you guys have grouped me in with a very unfortunate thing that happened in a workplace that he was involved with, but there is no evidence to prove that he was actually involved in any of the illegal activities. He just was around at the time. And they kind of paint him in the documentary. Joe, you've seen this documentary as well. They do suggest quite strongly. When I watched it, I was like, oh, this guy must be doing really bad things.
Yeah, well, he was at the top, and he was misogynistic and really rude and like really hard on his staff, and a bunch of people quit, and some barely got paid. So, but they paint it like he is the architect of like the whole system there. And so he's kind of, everybody is just kind of taking his lead in terms of the culture there.
Yeah. And right. So now he's filed this big lawsuit, basically claiming defamation. And he said, here, we have a little bit of this here. He says, filed this lawsuit. He said, well, it's true that two child sexual abusers worked on network shows. He says he had no knowledge of their abuse. He condemned it and was not a child sexual abuser himself. He says, but for the sake of clickbait, ratings, and views, or put differently, money, defendants have destroyed Schneider's reputation and legacy through the false statements and implications that Schneider is exactly that. And I will say, when I watched this, that's definitely the vibe that I got.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I didn't know his name prior to the documentary.
Neither did I.
But I walked away thinking this guy's like scum on earth. Like one of the worst people.
And they talked to a bunch of the people that he used to work with, too. They talked to, notably, they talked to a set of two female writers, up-and-coming comedy writers at the time, who he hired as a writing team, even though they didn't know each other at the time. He said, mm-hmm. "Hey, I want to have you both work for me, but I want to pay you each half," which is like a very common thing in Hollywood yeah. that people get away with. And so he hired these two women, and then we won't even talk about it on the air because there's like some very demeaning things that he asked them to pretend to be doing while they were pitching ideas for these kids shows, according to these two women who are interviewed in this documentary. And so when you hear things like that, when you're watching this documentary, you're thinking like, yeah, like, I don't know if this guy did anything with kids. They don't prove that. And in fact, they even say that Viacom CBS did an investigation and that they said that there was no information or proof that he did anything wrong. But when you talk to the people that he worked with, they all say like he had a lot of questionable boss behavior mm-hmm. behaviors that kind of like imply maybe he, you know, he made some bad decisions.
And they would write content that the kids would act out that was very like risque, kind of like if you're an adult, you'd see it.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
Ugh.
So
and
uncomfortable.
Kids wouldn't get it. Yeah. So it was.
Kids wouldn't get it, but like there would be little kids. I don't even want to describe it, yeah. but they would like, there's just a lot of stuff that little kids would be doing that could be taken as innuendos. To any adult watching, you go like, all right, well, if this guy was a sicko and he had these sick ideas, yeah. then I can see where he's making these kids do these things.
Well, I mean, if he really is guilty of being a part of it, I mean, he didn't do it, but he drove the getaway car. And so, I mean, he didn't really have a choice. Either he had to live with this documentary or fight it.
That's what, yeah.
But it sounds like he did a lot of other things, not as bad as those, but it sounds like his reputation was pretty much tarnished before this documentary came out for
yeah.
being a jerk.
No, it was very bad. And it did remind us, just real quickly, just for a point of reference, JonBenet Ramsey, you remember the little girl who was mysteriously killed?
Of course.
CBS did this big investigation as kind of like an entertainment piece on who actually killed JonBenet Ramsey. It was like on the 20th or 30th anniversary of her passing, her killing. And they kind of put the blame on the older brother, who would yeah. have been like 8 or 9 years old at the time. He then sued CBS for defamation for $750 million, and they settled with him for an undisclosed amount. So who knows how much they ended up paying out. But if this Dan Schneider does something similar, then
well,
he could get
a
big payday.
The father, JonBenet Ramsey's father, also had a lawsuit. They settled them both at the same time. His was
yeah.
for $50 million. And, I mean, you know, those people were put through the ringer. I mean, that was a horrible thing. Coming up, we're going to talk to you about the University of North Carolina. These frat boys did a really good thing. And, boy, they are getting nicely rewarded for it. We'll tell you about that. Also, if you happen to be expelled or suspended or you don't like the university you're going to and you're a really active protester, this prestigious university will give you a scholarship. We'll tell you about that as well. You're listening to the John Curley and Sherry Ellicker Show. John's out today. Jake Skorheim is in. And Jake, I don't know if you've been covering this on your show, which is Cairo Nights, and it's every night between 7 and 10 p.m. Check
yes.
it out.
Oh, that's yes, the tease.
The zebra. The, the zebra story.
I've been big on the zebra.
Yeah. And what I don't understand is this is really taken off. It's like everybody's into the zebra and looking for the zebra. Why hasn't there been a little more organization around the zebra?
I don't think
like,
people want to catch it, to be honest. It's a better story. Just leave them out there.
Just on the run?
Yeah, isn't it more fun to know that there's a zebra? Like, just like this, like, well, is that a zebra? I don't know. Could be. I mean, it doesn't seem like they'd be very hard to tell. But, yeah, I think people just like the idea that there's a zebra running around.
I just think they could do so much more with it to exploit it.
Did you see the, was it yesterday? They had the trail cam of the
yeah.
cougar that was on the same
yeah.
path as
and
a zebra?
That's what I'm afraid of, yes.
You think we're going to find a zebra carcass sometime soon?
I worry about that. I know that they're giving out a lot of advice. If you see the zebra, call 911. And the weirdest piece of advice that they've been giving out is don't try to ride it.
Which
okay.
is...
What are they going to do next? Read the directions on shampoo? I mean, isn't that a little obvious?
No, it's not obvious. It's the first thing I try to do. Have you seen Swiss Family Robinson? Like, if there was an ostrich out there that was running around, I'd try to jump on its back.
Well, an ostrich doesn't have a 3,000-pound kick either.
Well, I don't know. Ostriches are pretty scary, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty freaky. Are you telling me you wouldn't ride a zebra if given the chance?
No, zebras are dangerous. They're not meant to be ridden.
How
they
do you know?
They don't want that. Well, they said don't ride it.
Well, no, they're saying for the untrained, don't ride it.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're a trained zebra rider. I didn't know that.
No,
good
I'm not. I wouldn't say I'm a trained zebra rider. Do I think that I could ride a zebra? Yes. Do I think that I could befriend this zebra and become its owner? Yeah.
So
I do think
why aren't more people out there trying to become the zebra finder? Like, if this is zebra fever right now.
The zebra, that's a good name. The zebra whisperer. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why more people aren't. Because they're lazy. It's the same reason I didn't go out and do it. I could easily drive out there, and I could be in North Bend in 40 minutes, and I could go hunt for the zebra and look for him and try to ride him.
Well, I do think there are.
But I got stuff to do.
There are people and officials out there. You know, every time somebody spots them, they're trying to go back to that spot. But the zebra is very elusive, evidently.
How is it possible that they haven't caught this thing? Honestly, like I've seen what a zebra looks like. It looks nothing like the environment that it's in.
Well, and people keep there was video this morning. I think Sam Campbell got it from somebody that, you know, was just riding there mountain biking, and there it was, you know, a couple hundred yards away.
Well, that's just it. So like those guys call 911 and then just stick by the zebra for 10 minutes. What does it take? Like, it's not hard to do. Is it? What was it?
Well, I'm telling you, people are really into it, and I think they should do a little bit more organization and make a concerted effort to have it. The zebra could be like a Loch Ness monster.
Yeah,
you see these zebra sightings, and then nobody thinks it's really there because maybe he got something terrible happened. But then there's another zebra sighting.
You know what? I think you're onto something.
They ought to release a female out there.
That's what I was hoping, is that maybe there would, because this is a stallion.
And hey, real quick, actually, just recently news came out, this is a female.
This is a female?
Yeah.
What? Oh, well, I thought it was the only male.
This new information just came out in the last 10 minutes.
Clearly the people taking care of these zebras don't know what they're doing. First they let them out of the thing, then they don't even know if it's a male or a female. So it's a female, so if we let a male go,
there we go.
They'll find her.
Yeah.
Well, I think the first order of business is to name it, because nobody's given it a name. So it's got to be, now that we know it's a girl.
I've been seeing ZB Cooper in the news.
Oh, that's a really, can't even beat it.
Dumb.
That's done.
Yeah.
That wins.
That's,
you think that's dumb?
Like that one. Well, no. I mean, I get it, but I think we come up with some better ones. Yeah, that's going to be your job during the news. Come up with better names than that, Joe.
Mine was going to be Kevin, but if it's a girl.
What about Kyle Fox?
Kyle Fox is a good one.
Okay.